There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Sing along.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Anyway, second good morning to everybody. Yesterday we witnessed incredible legacy of a man. I'm sure if David Stahl would have written all that stuff himself, it would have not been as elaborate. But he was nonetheless, he was a wonderful man. I knew him personally, and he was a non-confrontational man. He sought peace wherever he went. He stood strong on his points. He didn't waver. But he was, nonetheless, I think he would have probably not picked a lot of the stuff they said about him, knowing him. But that's, you know, how that is. That's how it is at a funeral. We pick the best stuff and we say that about him. But witnessing from the outside, looking in, anything that I had to do with that brother was positive. He was very, very, very dear brother in Christ. And that's how I knew him. And he was really, he's going to be missed. He was definitely, he's going to leave a big hole, especially in the family. Even with Brother Dave, he came and I came over and visited frequently. So he will be missed. And but how would we write, if we would write our obituary, what would that look like? If I would write mine, I would not write what they talked about me. I'll tell you, it would not be that good. But nonetheless, I'm glad I don't have to write it. And I have to live it now, and maybe hopefully they'll have something good to say about me when it does happen. But hopefully I'll get changed before that happens. But we still have to be ready any time. The brother was, thought was in good health. Anyway, in every case and point, it looked like he was still relatively healthy, and yet now he's gone. Doesn't take much. Anyway, I'm going to I love the songs that Brother Steve picked. They were have a lot to do with my message from a bit of a different angle, but still a lot to do with what I'm speaking on. I want Brandon to put up a scripture. I'm going to start from that one. It's out of Proverbs 23, verse 7. And you have to really think about this scripture. As a man thinks, so is he. This expression means that what someone says or does is not necessarily what they think in their heart. People may be courteous or polite to your face, but have contentious thoughts towards you. So you have a thought life. Your thought process is something that's happening right now. There's a thought process. Everything that you, even I'm saying, you're thinking about it. That's the real you, the soul part of you that is processing everything that the devil is trying to get at to influence. He cannot. You have that choice on whether you'll allow him. And I'll get into that. My message basically would be, if I'd have a title for it, is trusting God. But there's a thought process behind that. It's just, you can't just be saved and decide to trust God. It comes automatically. It doesn't. You have to be very methodical about it, and you have to decide to do it. It's a decision. But before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning, for a beautiful morning that you've given us. Lord, I know we're quickly running out of time. We want to make the best of the situations that you have given us. Lord, we want to have living legacies, Lord Jesus, where we make a difference in the places where we're at now for your kingdom. We want to be strong salt, to hold back the evil, to be somebody that the world has to contend with. They know we are for real, and we're not going to just roll over. And we're not doing this under our power, but under your power, Lord Jesus. Help us to uplift your name and to stand and to proclaim your name wherever we go, Lord. You will be the light that shines through us. In Jesus' name I ask this. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. And today I want to target your mind and your thought process. What's your intent in life? What's your intent for today, for tomorrow? And by the way, this message is just for believers and in Jesus Christ only. Born-again Christians, in other words. If you're an unbeliever, this is not for you. And you'll get to know why it's not for you, because you have to be born again to understand this message. There's a word in the English language that describes criminal intent. When somebody commits a crime, it's called mens rea, like spelled M-E-N-S space R-E-A, which is the intent of thought on committing a crime. So when somebody commits a crime, what the law will do, they'll go for mens rea, which is the intent of his thought. Was it premeditated? You can actually get charged for mens rea, which is the thought of crime, of committing a crime. If you, just because you didn't act it out, does not mean you cannot get charged. You can actually get charged for that thought process. So remember, you are what your mind, you first think about it before you do it. So everything that is going through your mind is a thought process. So think about that. And remember, you're the one who has full control of your mind, your thinking. Nobody else does. Satan and his demons try to influence that thinking. Then that part of you at all times. You will never be without that in your life. You will always have negative thoughts. And that's Satan. Very subtle. You will think it's your own thoughts, but it's not. But it's very important to know scripture when it comes to being born again. That's why I'm saying you have to be born again to understand this message, because this is geared. You'll see what I'm getting at here. So this morning I will attempt to, through the word of God, to help you keep your mind and heart on the promises of God, because there will be trials and tribulations, and you need to stay focused on the absolute truths of God's promises. They are there, but they depend on your mind and your ability and your intent to lay hold on them. They don't automatically happen. The only thing that happens automatic, and it's still you play your part, is salvation. You recognize you're lost, and then Jesus performs circumcision of your spirit, which can never be undone. He circumcises you in spirit. Jesus' biggest trial was not the cross, not even close. Guess what it was? It happened in the Garden of Gethsemane where he sweated blood. That's where he cried out in agony to the Father. If there be any other way, please, let's try a different way. No, but there was no other way. Once he determined in his mind, this, he set himself, this is how it's going to be, that's when basically the battle was over. He said, remove this cup and maybe choose another way to redeem mankind. But when he won that mental battle, the rest came pretty easy. He then made his face like flint, and he walked the rest of the way without wavering. Said he, you can read it in Philippians. He set he took the cross and he went all the way till the end, knowing that the price had to be paid. So here we go with the scripture that is designed to bring you freedom. And again, that freedom is only going to come if you lay hold on him, on them with your mind. Again, your mind is the tool that you use to set yourself free. Your mind is what it takes to lay hold on these scriptures and then bring them to your heart, and then freedom comes. Meditation is part of this. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 is out of the King James Version. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Get back to that. Okay, who is them? That would be the ones that hate you, which would be primarily the demonic realm. So never associate people with that. Somebody is working through those people to bring out that hatred. So target that hate or that if there's any animosity, target it towards the demonic realm and do spiritual warfare towards them. And finishing that verse, for the Lord your God, he it is that does keep you, and he will not fail you nor forsake you. Lay hold that on your head. Put that in your mind. And you will start being victorious in every area of your life. Next verse, Joshua 1 verse 7. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. And now we're under grace, which is the fulfillment of the law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it, from grace, either right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Does the Lord want you to prosper? Argue with this, not with me. He wants you to prosper in everything, not just spiritually. That's God's plan for you. Isaiah 12, verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. You say it now. Say it out loud yourselves. Behold, God is my salvation. He is your salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. So who is responsible for getting to know this? Me, you, your mind, your mindset. You will only win the battle that you're fighting with a mindset of pondering, meditating, and putting those scriptures in your mind and in your heart. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want to get back to this verse a little bit later, and I'm going to do something with it. And then it says in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, a very well-known scripture to all of us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him. It means acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, it'll be easy to walk here. He doesn't say there'll be no trials or tribulations. He says it'll be easy to walk because you are doing what he's saying you're supposed to do. Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. All of us know this scripture, and all of us maybe just know it as words, but do it. Cast all your cares and anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So if you have anxieties or cares, give them to him. Do it in word. Do it out loud to him, to yourselves, and even so that the devils and the demons can hear you. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious, in other words, or worry about anything. So what do you worry about or be anxious about? About anything. Nothing. but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a promise. If you can lay hold on this, you will be victorious in every aspect of your life. In Romans 8, verse 28, and he says, and we know that all these things, God, we know that all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So everything that you go through, God works out for good for you. At the end, it'll be good, whatever it is you're going through. In Psalm 18, verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold. Meditate on this. These verses remind us that we can trust God's plan for our lives. Even when we don't fully understand it, by turning to him in prayer and placing our trust in him, we can find peace and strength during even the most challenging of times. There is hope for all of God's people. There is peace and serenity waiting, but it is up to you to lay hold on it. And you start right here, taking every thought, bringing every thought under subjection, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Back to that Isaiah verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. I want to sort of reverse engineer it. Take it from in reverse. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now let's look in the mirror a bit. Are you spiritually soaring like an eagle? Are you spiritually and physically energetic and fresh all the time? Are you not faint of heart right now? In other words, courageous. If you say yes to all of them, that is a good thing. You are most definitely trusting in the Lord. But if your answer would be no, then your problem is very simple. You're not trusting the Lord's promises. So I'm encouraging you. The only thing that I can do is encourage you from here. And this is not just for you. I'm in the same boat as you are. And it's a day-by-day battle where I learn to lean and trust in God with whatever circumstances thrown in my path. And we all have faced situations and circumstances every day of our lives, if not every hour. But if you're I want to say this, though, that fear is an emotion and faith is an attitude and focus is a choice. So you focus on these promises. Faith does not deny the existence of the raging seas. Faith and belief that this Jesus that you put your trust in will take your hand and get you through whatever you're going through. That's what faith and belief is. I'm going to close out with Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. I didn't think I'd get through this fast. It looked so long when I was looking at the message. But if you can hang on to this, we will be the most victorious church in the world. And then you can bring this to others. Can you imagine how this could grow? This is Christianity. This is what you need to grow in Christ, is trusting God no matter your circumstance. And you will see things change. I've read books like Brother Andrew and Of Whom the World Is Not Worthy, where this guy is in prison. He did complain to God he didn't have food. I think God gave him a rat. And they threw him his food in under his prison door, feces all full at the floor. He thanked God and he blessed his food and ate. If you think of the situations that some of these people have been in, and yet they found a way to praise God in their situation. And we have everything. We are prospering in all areas of our lives, and yet we complain. So I think complaining is the Achilles heel of the Western church. We whine and complain about everything where we should be praising and thanking God for everything that he gives us. Times are going to get tough, but we're going to shine brighter than ever. It's coming. We're going to shine our brightest yet, just as the bridegroom, as it comes nears the bride, where he almost faints for the beauty of the bride, of her shining robe, of what she's arrayed in. This is what we'll be like when Jesus starts to come. Not when he comes, but when he starts to get ready to meet us. In Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in whose power? In the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles," which means the tricks of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's the whole world system that we're seeing here now, in a nutshell, in this scripture. "Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." In other words, make sure that whole armor is on you. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." I want to take this scripture apart a little bit. The phrase "loins girt about with the truth" literally means to have the belt of truth around your waist. Keep in mind that the Apostle Paul is using a Roman soldier's armor to describe the preparation of the Christian for spiritual combat. During the era of the Roman Empire, when this was written, the Roman soldier had the most advanced armor of that era. The belt was a critical part of the Roman armor, for everything was held in place by it or anchored to it. Without the belt, the armor lost its effectiveness. So also, there is no hope to win any fight that you're in except you have the absolute truth, which is that belt of truth around you. And you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. That is the absolute truth that you need. That's where everything starts. That's where you can win every battle, is that you have that within you. And then from that comes the automatic part of having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So be always ready, as the Apostle Peter says, to give an answer to any man that asks of the hope that is within you. And then above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some, everyone that's get thrown at you. And now look at the next verse. I love this one. If you don't believe in assurance of salvation, this is what this scripture means. But there's a choice again that you have to make. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation is assurance of salvation to your mind. Guess where you doubt Christ when you doubt? It's always here. So you take the helmet of salvation, which is the surety of God, of God's word, of his promises, that when he committed the circumcision of your spirit, it was a done deal. Get that into your mind, and then that helmet will be put on, the helmet of salvation, which nobody will be able to attack you anymore. You will be set and secure and will not have to worry about that anymore. Once God will give you that revelation, the fighting or the rest of the battle will also come easy. Just like with Jesus, when he won that battle in Gethsemane, when he set his face, okay, I'm going to do it, the rest again was easy. So once you have assurance of salvation, that's when things really become easier for you. But that is a battle in itself. A lot of people struggle with this. And that doesn't mean they're not born again. It's just Satan throwing doubt. And remember, doubt only happens to believers. An unbeliever doesn't doubt. What would he doubt? So believers are the ones who struggle with doubt. And again, above all, taking the shield of faith. It's your faith that is your shield that you're holding up, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you have to have that. And then, last of all, to finish out, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're all a unit. We need to stop criticizing and coming against each other. We need to stand up as a unit if we want to win this battle, and we will. One way or another, God is going to unite us in a way where it has never happened before. But we will unite. We will run out. We will walk or get out of this world a united church if we're not already in part. But there's a lot of things that are stopping, that Satan is using us to make us ineffective as a body of the body of Christ. We are busy, very busy, fighting about things we need not to fight about instead of focusing on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is at. The cross is where the power is. Apostle Paul said it himself. I will glory in nothing save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I will add nothing to it, not even adding anything onto that, because the second I start adding to the cross, then persecution ceases. It's the cross of Jesus Christ that has the power and the ability to change people's lives. Amen and amen.
Every eye shall see, every ear shall hear the sound of angels when he comes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord when he comes, when he comes. And he'll plant his beautiful feet upon this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes, when he comes, when he comes. Everyone then will know that it's him, really him, the one and only. When he comes, when he comes, glorified and transformed, I'll arise at his call. I'll be ready when he comes, when he comes. And he'll plant his beautiful feet upon this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes, when he comes, when he comes. I'll be one in the first resurrection when he comes, when he comes.